So hello, everybody, and welcome to our body balance call for the month of March 2020. The year is going by pretty fast. As far as I can tell, it's already March, which means that in two more weeks, we have summer. I'm not summer, spring. I'm wishing for summer, but winter will be over. So yay. So we're here to chat and catch up and, you know, share your successes, ask me questions, and, you know, just let's see how I can support you on your journey. I know you're all getting great support from Lynn and from Annette in your small group calls. And some of you are doing private coaching with some of those guys. And that's really cool. And I'm here to support you whatever way I can. I'm going to start with Sharon because Sharon had a question on the last call and I didn't have her Dutch chest in front of me. But in looking at your Dutch chest, the question you had was in terms of your high cortisol, would it be appropriate to take DHEA to help bring that down because DHEA counterbalances cortisol? And I looked at your test and your DHEA levels are indeed low. So from that regard, yes, it would be okay for you to try that. Very, very tiny doses to start, with the goal being not very much at all, maybe at most 5 milligrams 2 or 3 times a day. I like the liquid one. I don't have that here, but I have something else by the same company, Biomatrix. Did we talk about estriol from Biomatrix on another call? Okay, so let me pull your thing back up. I think if you're going to take the DHEA based on your results, I would like to see you also taking their estriol. So this is Biomatrix, and they have this thing called Estadap, ESTADAPT, and then they have another one that's just DHEA. And the reason I'm saying that is when I look at your lab, your level of estrogen is quite low, but it's more dominant towards estrone versus estriol. Estriol is the real protective estrogen, whereas estrone is the one we like to call it proliferative. So if there's a risk of any kind of, like, you know, breast cancer, uterine cancer, anything like that, it's from the estrone. Now, yours are so tiny that it doesn't put you at high risk. But when the body metabolizes, the liver metabolizes the estrogen to get rid of it, it creates these metabolites, these intermediary estrogens. And one of them is called 4-hydroxy. And yours is higher percentage-wise than it should be. And given your numbers are so low right now, not a big deal. But if those numbers go up, that could be a big deal. So then why am I telling you to take an estrogen? Well, because estriol is the protective one. Estriol can convert to a different form called the 16, which you actually have a decent amount of. But also, if you take DHEA, it can get converted to testosterone, which can get converted to estrogen. So it's unlikely that taking DHEA is going to cause excess estrogen, but I'd want you to be protected given the numbers here. So your numbers are estrone 2, estradiol 0.15. So it's 2.15 is the sum of those two. And what we like to see is that the sum of those two is less than or equal to estrone, but estriol, and estriol is at 0.6. So it's like, those are like a little bit more than twice.
Sorry, I think somebody's mic is unmuted and I keep getting a lot of noise in the background.
Let's see, mute, that's me, that's you. Yeah, I think it was Andrea. We got you muted. You are moving around. That's okay. So, nutshell, there's three main estrogens: estradiol, estrone, and estriol. Estriol is the protective one, and we want that to be either greater than or equal to the sum of the other two. In your case, but all levels are very low, so you're not like in a high-risk situation right now. But if those numbers go up, then you would want to be doing other things to protect yourself. So here's what I'm saying is that because when you add your estrone and estradiol together, it's 2.15 and your estriol is 0.6. if you increase the estriol, you're going to get a protective effect. Why am I saying this in relation to DHEA? DHEA can convert downstream into testosterone and then into estrogen. So if that happens, it turns into the estrone, the most proliferative one. So what I would want to do is to bump up your estriol so that if that happens, you're going to be in balance. Does that make sense? And then because downstream, the estrone can get converted to 4-hydroxyestrone. And the 4-hydroxy is a dangerous metabolite, right? So we want to keep that low, and you're already percentage-wise higher than you should be, right? So high risk now, no, but if you shift that, it could be. Is it worthwhile to try to get the cortisol down with the DHEA up? Yeah, that's the only downside, right? That's the only downside, is it could increase your estrogen. And so to protect you there, I'd want you to have the protective estrogen as well. And these are all over-the-counter companies called Biomatrix, but you are a sensitive person, right? You're very sensitive to supplements. So you need to go very slowly. The dose you need may be very tiny compared to the dose someone else might need. Okay. Right? I've seen somebody raise their DHEA with one drop once a day over the course of several months. Because if she went to two, she started getting facial hair. She's like, I don't want facial hair, right? So she just kept it real low and she was able to raise it. We redid her test in three or four months. And it raised. So don't get like concerned, like, oh, I'm not taking enough. It may not work. Very small amounts can help profoundly. Well, I'm not saying one is going to be your dose. So you take one and you do that for a few days. And then you take two. And then you do that. I'd rather see you space it. So take one in the morning and then take one a few days later. Take a second one in the afternoon. I wouldn't do it much past midnight, must pass dinner. At all, because if you have trouble sleeping, and there's a small potential for too close to bedtime being a problem. Generally not, but I just don't want to take a chance with you, with your sleep issues. Okay? So one in the morning, and then if that doesn't cause facial hair, a breakout, you know, raging sex drive, you know, something like that, then I would say, okay, then you can go to two twice a day. And I wouldn't go more than three twice a day.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just see how you feel. See if you are able to sleep better. You're probably going to be able to sleep better that way. Now, your cortisol isn't, when I go back to it, your cortisol isn't high at the at bedtime. It's high in the middle of the day. So I think that the morning and midday is going to be, what's that? Yeah, morning and midday is where it's high.
No. It's high at 5 a.m. and then peaks at 7 a.m.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm looking at this wrong. The old test I used to use, the biohealth. Okay. So yeah, it is morning. Yeah. So I would do it in the morning. You can do it again. Yeah. I would just do it in the morning.
So just one drop in the morning then?
I would do one drop in the morning. You can go to three drops in the morning, you know, just build it up and see how that feels.
Okay.
And we'll see if there's no shift. You can try it in the middle of the day as well. I just wouldn't try it too close to bedtime. I don't want to. What the downside is, if you take it in the middle of the day and it does dampen cortisol, and your cortisol is already dampened, then you just might feel less energy. But the cool part is about all of this is you get to, you know, just feel how it feels in your body. And you start with small doses, you experiment, because we're the best experiment crowd. Testing's great. Gives us great measurements, but the ultimate is, how does it feel in your body? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. And what you said about the sensitivity to some of the supplements is true, because some things that are supposed to be helping me sleep have the reverse effect on me.
Right. Exactly. And maybe this will do that too. And maybe in the middle of the day, it'll give you energy, you know, and maybe it'll make you sleep, but I don't want to take that chance. So let's just see.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. All right. So who has something to share? I'd love to hear successes. I'd love to hear challenges. Sometimes we go around and do all the successes first and then come back to challenges. And sometimes we run out of time to do challenges that way. So I would like to just give anybody a chance who has something to share. Start with a success and tell me how I can support you. So I can just go around and If I don't see hands up, which I don't, I'll just go around in the order that you're here. Carol, if you've sent those, you're the first one up on my screen, so I can do you. But let me look to see. Carol, yay, came. Yeah. All right, so this is the list of tests that your local functional medicine doc wants to do before he'll give you anything more.
Right.
Okay.
And then I sent the lab work of my metals to,
Well, this one says heavy metals blood panel blood. You have already done that, or you just did the urine?
No, I sent the PDF on the, I just did the urine, but I sent that PDF file to.
Okay, but his list, I'm just saying what his list
yeah.
is.
Yeah. He wanted to redo that one again. That was his list. I sent you the list and then.
And then right after that's the metals. So it looks like lead is the main one that's high. Thallium is a little bit high. Have you ever had contrast, like barium enema?
No.
Or anything at all where they injected you?
No.
Okay.
But I'm thinking this week, I was thinking of, I forgot I bought this, well, it's a couple years old, but I didn't even think about it because I usually use all organic, but I went to this spa thing and anyway, they gave me, and I wonder if the product for my face that they gave me has lead in it. I didn't even think, I'm like, oh my God, because I use all organic for everything.
General, right.
And then I'm like, oh my God, because it's this anti-aging thing for your skin.
Yeah, a lot of those have a lot of stuff in them. I've not seen any with lead in them, but.
I was wondering if that had lead in it, because that's the only.
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't expect it. They might have propylene glycol in it, and they may have estrogen in it, and they may have other things like that in it, but I've never seen them anyway with lead. Okay, so a lot of these are standard, like, you know, advanced blood panel stuff.
Right.
I think B12 is a waste of time.
Yeah, it looks like it's all standard. But,
well, there's a few that are more expensive tests, mm-hmm. but I think that there's an ANA screen, so that's antibodies, ferritin, comprehensive metabolic, CBC, I would definitely recommend. I wonder if I can do, like, if it allows me to, like, mark on here what I think would be. Let me see.
But I just really didn't want to spend $1,500.
Yeah, and I don't know if you'd have
and for the root cause.
I don't know why you'd have to. Some of these are really advanced tests, and I don't know, like, your complete history, why he would have recommended glucose 6-phosphate dehydrogenase.
Yeah, he just mainly went off the lead thing and said, okay, to find the root cause, this is what I want to. Yeah. This is what I do. So I'm like, okay.
And a heavy metals panel blood, I don't know that it's worth doing that at this point until you start to do something about it. All the thyroid stuff is good. The stuff that I think, you know, on here that I, for sure, I don't think is useful is vitamin B12. I just think that the serum levels are not useful. You've got homocysteine, you've got the CBC where you can see functionally B12. You've got vitamin D is definitely important. When was the last time you had a full blood panel drawn?
Two years ago.
2 years ago. Okay. So a lot of this stuff is just really a good idea.
Right.
Prolactin, testosterone. You know, if you were trying to cut it down, first of all, I would go to runmylabs.com and see what they have there. Where do you live?
In Illinois.
Okay. So you can do Lewis. It. There. I would go there and see what their pricing is on this. Like if you did, there's certain panels you can do. Like this comprehensive metabolic with CBC is like $59. It's not much. Ferritin is about probably 45.
Mm-hmm.
Hemoglobin A1C, same thing, about 35. Homocysteine, same thing. Insulin, there are some bundles that have a bunch of this stuff. And I would definitely recommend the hemoglobin A1C, homocysteine, and insulin. Right. The one I'm not sure about, and I'm just going to write this down, is the glucose. That one might be a specialty one that's very expensive. 6.
Okay. The glucose one. Okay.
Yeah. But the rest of it, because you've got that one and the B12, I wouldn't necessarily. I'm not sure why he wants the pre-albumin. I think you could probably hold off on the heavy metals panel blood because you've already just gotten it in the urine. Iron and total iron binding capacity for sure. All the thyroid for sure. I don't think you need T3 uptake, but if you're getting free T3.
I mean, I have a deductible with my regular MD. I mean, I have insurance, but I have like $1,000. I think my deductible is like $2,000 or something.
Yeah, so you'd still have to pay out of pocket. Plus, yeah. If you go through, a lot of times if you go through the doctor's offices, the price of the test is super high. Now, I don't know about this guy. Maybe he has some special arrangements. But if you were to do this through this panel, through, say, you know, just going into the regular MD, they could charge you a couple of thousand for it.
Yeah.
But you're saying 5 myeloperoxidase, cardio. They're doing a bunch of antibody type stuff. Omega check is a good one. That's omega 3s.
Yeah, because I guess he said in order to do chelation or vitamin C IVs, he needs a comprehensive.
Well, that's why he's doing, because he's thinking about vitamin C IVs. That's why he's doing glucose dehydrogenase, phosphate dehydrogenase. But I would certainly, Vance lipid panel. Do you have a history of heart disease?
No. I mean, my dad was 93. And yeah, I mean, as far as history, I don't know. My dad was 93 and had heart issues, but my mom didn't.
And have you ever had elevated cholesterol, triglycerides? Oh,
me, myself, no. Well, I have never had elevated.
So you might be able to wait on that one until, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to see if there's stuff you could save your money and then, you know, do later perhaps. Right. If you're thinking about doing chelation and IVC with him, he definitely is going to want to do the glucose stuff. He's going to want to do all this if he's thinking about chelation, for sure.
Right.
Are you thinking about chelation as being a something you'd want to do?
That's, I don't know. Right now, I know Lynn sent me some that lady, but their office hours. I haven't able to call yet for the to do the lead the homeopathic.
Sorry. Yeah, and we talked and the other day about the
Lynn Rose.
Lynn sent me her office her thing, and I have to call her website or whatever. I haven't done that yet, but I just thought I was going to go. I mean, cause like, if I don't do he said he would charge me extra if I don't do the test through him, but still, if he charges me extra, I would still probably come out way ahead anyway by going through somebody else to get these tests ran.
Okay, so here's my question for you.
Okay.
Are you, if he comes back and says chelation, I want to do chelation with you. Vitamin C, great, you know, vitamin C IV, great. But is that something that you would consider? Knowing it's not, if $1,500 is a lot for the testing, it's going to cost a whole lot more than that to do chelation.
Yeah, I don't know how many rounds of chelation I would need. I would try, I mean, lead-wise, I'm going to try the homeopathic route first, I feel.
So there's a bunch of stuff on there I would say it's just good to get, since you haven't gotten. If you're going to do IV vitamin C, he wants to make sure that you don't have a specific glucose 6 dehydrogenase, phosphate dehydrogenase. It's a contraindication to high levels of vitamin C IV. And then there's the antibodies, and he wants to make sure you don't have an autoimmune disease, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot there. It could be good to do, but... Mm-hmm. Is it necessary? So you need to make that decision. I can't make that for you.
Right.
But if you think that chelation is something you're thinking about doing,
then
then, you know, he's not going to do it unless you get all that tested.
Right. Okay.
But if you just want to know, like, for addressing what you found in your heavy metal test right now and getting that lead down, I would go for the homeopathic lead and high dose vitamin C. You can do it in liposomal is a lot cheaper than IV, right? So high dose vitamin C, liposomal, and then the modified citrus pectin that we talked about.
Yeah, that's right.
But it is a good idea when you have high levels of stuff is to be getting some help from somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
But you can for sure do the least expensive route for you right now is the modified citrus pectin, the homeopathic lead, the liposomal vitamin C, And then whatever else homeopathic wise, like drainage formulas, keeping your gut moving, those sorts of things. And then retest your metals in 3 months and see if it's come down. You know, I've seen it come down. I've seen people do 12 rounds of chelation at, you know, $1,000 pop, and they don't, it doesn't change.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Quick question. I know you told me to get the zeolite with Dr. Pompas. So Dr. Pompas sent me an email anyway. So because I get his anyway, I was listening to his summits a long time ago. But anyway, so I bought his zeolite. Anyway, I actually ended up buying his whole, because it's like, oh, get this discount. And anyway, I ended up
spending detox kit.
All, everything on his detox.
His stuff is good stuff. So.
Yeah, because I know I have an issue with, I feel I have an issue with drainage and the full brain fog and all of that stuff. And so I thought, well, since it's a little bit cheaper and I got $30, 30 days to see if it doesn't work. I mean, so I bought it. Is that okay, you think?
Absolutely. I think his stuff is very good. And he's been studying detox for a long time.
Right.
And he's got good products. And it's all about drainage for the liver as well as other detox organs. So I think you're probably your least expensive method to go about this.
Okay.
At this point.
Okay. And then quick question. I know, I mean, I did send you again, but we could do that at the later time, the next time around my, I just wanted to just a more comprehensive on my Dutch Plus test on like if what the drops to take or if I need a progesterone. But I just seen is it her name, Anna Kabeca?
Yeah.
Okay. I seen she has, because you told me to take the estriol too. To take a drop of that, because my estrogen was low. I was at stage 3 adrenal, and then high cortisols. And anyway,
right.
So I took and you said the bone stuff. So I'm taking the nettles and what you recommend. And but I guess I'm asking because I seen that she had a progesterone and estrogen cream that she's selling. I was just thought what you thought of that.
You know, it's up to you what you want to do. I don't know the exact doses in it. I find that the drops tend to be more concentrated.
Oh, good.
So you don't have to put as much on. But if you prefer a cream, her products are high quality. So.
Okay. And you just say you took what I heard you was doing a supplement by her, the keto. Is that good for anybody to take her supplement?
Well, she has a powder. She has a
powder form. Yeah.
She has a powdered it's a protein powder, keto protein.
Yeah, I was looking for a protein powder.
Yeah, I mean, I actually had the first generation of hers, and it was actually very nice because it wasn't real gritty. And I haven't tried her new one. She said it's even better. It has MCT in it.
And
it's meant for. So her products are well researched and high quality. So,
Okay. So I'll just go the route and like what you said, and then maybe next time can you
go around and see what else you went through it already, and I want to give everybody else a chance. Yeah. Okay,
right, for sure. Thank you.
Great, Carol. All right, Mary, do you have anything? Whoops, let's unmute you.
Yep.
Hi.
I do.
Good.
I have been able to quit drinking coffee, which is somewhat of a miracle.
Wow.
Yep.
Congratulations.
I started that with the elimination diet, and so and I've stuck with it.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I've ordered my Dutch Plus test. I signed up for Kimberly's course, the energy and
good.
Yes, I'm going to be doing that, and I've completed the 30-minute bonus session with Kimberly.
Good. How was that?
It was great. It was great. Just 30 minutes was a lot of insight.
Great.
I've installed a timer on my router so it shuts down.
Wow.
I know. I had to do it because there was no other way I was going to be able to step away.
You could be on the computer and it just like goes away, right? I mean, it's past my bedtime. Whoops, my internet just went down. Way to go. Good for you.
Yeah, it's very effective.
Good.
Yeah. And I have to crawl under my desk to get to the little timer thing if I want to, you know, turn it back on. So that's a deterrent.
That's great.
Yeah. And so the one question I have was the genetic testing. I think you've mentioned before you use 23andMe. Is Is that the?
Yeah, so it's still using 23andMe, and I have a kit to test out on my desk for the last 6 months that I haven't run to see how it compares. Well, 23andMe doesn't have everything that it used to have. Like when I got it done, it had way more. It's still a decent approach, and there are others, and I just haven't had the opportunity to really check them all out. I actually went as far as buying one of the kits, and it's been sitting on my desktop for 6 months. So okay. I will get to that. What I usually like to do is run the 23andMe and then run it through a filter called genetic detoxification. There's a number of filters. If you want to, you know, do two or three of them, it's fine. You can learn that, but it gives you a good thing. The reason is because you can do it on your own. Where'd my book go? No, I must put it away. But I had my book on my desk, and there's a book that you can buy that it'll basically on the test, it'll say, oh, this little particular error, MTHFR, it's red. And then it says, oh, it's on pages 17 to 23 of the book. And you can read all about it, right? So it's as close to do it yourself as genetics can be. When you run the 23andMe and you just use their reports, it's like kindergarten level, right? You have a 2.5% increased risk of Parkinson's or a 3.7% decreased risk of whatever. Whereas these give us a lot of more information. The problem is it takes some skill and expertise and experience to be able to understand those. We do that. In fact, coming this Friday and Saturday, the people in our ERC program get to come on a call with me, and I go through all of their, you know, 23andMe's. So I only do that for people in my year-long program just because it's so much work. It's a lot of work. And I literally go through, like, right now I think there's like 30 people or something all signed up for 2 days in a row. So that's going to be a lot, you know, that I'm going to have to go through. So that's a way to get my help with that. I have never offered it alone. I've also offered it to people who are doing like just private coaching with me, which is only like a tiny handful of people. So that's why I like that book. If you get the 23andMe, and that's the only test that you can run through that filter. You run through that filter, you get the book, and you just read about. Skip everything except what's red. Anything that's red, you read about. And you write some notes. Then you can go back and say, okay, what are some of the yellows? Maybe those have something to do with it. And you can get an idea of, like for coffee, there's a particular SNP in there that, and they're called SNPs, not mutations. They're called SNPs. There's this particular one that if you have it, you are not doing a very good job of detoxing estrogen and caffeine. Well, estrogen gets produced by your body. You can't avoid it. Caffeine, you can. You know what I mean? So you get to control and say, I'm gonna let my body put all its energy towards estrogen breakdown rather than spending time on the caffeine. See what? So those are the kinds of things you can learn from this book.
Okay, and what was the name of the filter again?
It's called genetic detoxification. So if you go to geneticdetoxification.com, and then if you go to their site, it tells you about the book. And you can buy the book on Amazon. You can buy it as a Kindle for $10, or you can buy it as a physical hard copy for like $30. Big, thick book. I have both because it helps me to be able to look at it both ways. I'm not carrying that book around with me. But I can carry around the Kindle version of it, and I can look things up. So, yeah.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Awesome. You're welcome. How about Andrea? How's Maui? Oops, unmute.
There we go.
There we
Am
are.
Am I here?
Yeah, you're there.
Am I here? Yeah. Maui's good. How can it not be? Yeah.
I know.
It's just lacking one thing.
What?
You.
I have
you
to come back. I just need a little minor thing like a place to live.
Well, I know about a house that's cost about $7 million that you might
I
like.
I know about that house. I dream about that house every day. I found, for those of you who don't know, I found this amazing house when I was running on Maui, and I somehow convinced the realtor that I was a serious buyer, and he would show it to me at $7 million. And it is the most exquisite place I have ever seen in my life. Everything about it, the view and the beach. It has its own little private beach. And so one day I'll win the lottery.
One day.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know. You just never know.
I'm just putting it out there.
So I'll go by there once in a while so I can check it.
Check it out. Make sure it's okay. Make sure they're taking good care of it for me. I thought maybe I could just buy it and I could use it.
It's waiting for you.
Retreats, right? I could just do retreats there and say, okay, I'm going to take 10 people down and let's go down and we'll hire a chef and a yoga teacher and a massage therapist and we'll have a retreat there. But that's a lot of retreats that I'd have to do to come up with 7 million. So one day. Not giving
anyway. I've been working with one of the coaches, Lisa.
Oh, good. Lisa's amazing.
It's a lot of, she's really, really great. And so far it's been like all this testing and testing and testing. And she was saying, I get weird. I get a testosterone of 77, which is like high. And the free testosterone is 3.3, which is normal, but the total testosterone was high. She's like, well, wonder why that is. And my cholesterol, the highest ever, and 300. And so she was thinking that even though my thyroid numbers for the most part came out okay, that maybe I have like a subclinical
thyroid resistance, it could be.
Something
thyroid receptor
constipation, my cholesterol, because remember I had my gallbladder out and
right
all that. And so, but I've been vegan since, I mean, haven't had any animal product in my body for 30 some, I mean, I was vegetarian before that, so like 35 years.
What's your homocysteine at?
My homocysteine was or is, I wrote all this down. Where is it? It's right on the next page. No. Oh, it. I'm sorry. It's one more page. There it is. 12.4.
Oh, okay. All right. It's very.
You meant ow. What does that mean to you? Ow. Is that a good ow or a bad ow?
It's too high. It's a bad ow. Okay. So if your thyroid numbers look normal,
well,
including the conversion from T4 to T3, it's very likely you have what's called hormone resistance, thyroid hormone resistance. Elevated homocysteine will make those receptors, I keep going like this, it's like it's on my arm, but it makes the receptors resistant, like insulin resistance, but for the thyroid. High homocysteine. The other thing could be low vitamin A. And if you've ever gotten your SNPs done, your genetics, there's a particular one we'd look for. But you eat a lot of beta carotene foods. I know I've seen you eat, and you know I know what you eat. So, but if you have one of these SNPs, you don't convert it into vitamin A as well. And vitamin A affects those receptors. It is a test. We don't normally do it, but maybe Lisa had recommended it. But in the meantime, I have never tested mine. I have that SNP. And I turn orange when I eat, you know, I've been orange for the last 35 years since I started eating so much good food because I don't convert it all to vitamin A, which is fine because beta carotene is protective in and of itself. So I just take vitamin A periodically, vitamin A drops, 5,000 IUs, can't hurt.
But I don't have the gallbladder and I've had all that situation as far as the ADE and K absorption. So I'm wondering if I did do the vitamin A, would that...
You want to get mysolized. Don't get capsules of it.
Mysolized.
Seeking Health has it. There's a couple Seeking of others. Health. Sinclair might have it. But I know for sure Seeking Health because that's the one I use.
Okay. Yeah, because my vitamin D, normal to the labs, but not normal in functional nutrition, 32.
Ooh. Yeah.
I know. So, I mean,
I take liquid vitamin D as well.
I just started on that, what is it? Thorn DK2.
The liquid. Okay.
It's a little drops. I mean, it looks like you're not getting anything.
You're not going to get enough D from that to get your levels up because you're so low.
I also do the complement. Okay.
You do that too? You do the D?
Yeah, but I don't think there's much in there. Probably the complement, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's a multi, right?
But B12,
yeah.
D.
EPA. I don't know how much it has in it. With the level of 32, and given you don't have a gallbladder, my recommendation for dosage would be somewhere around 10,000 a day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then retest it. I mean, and come on, you live in Hawaii. You're out in the sun. You don't live in Alaska.
Yeah, but I was home a lot the last couple of months because of my broken foot, which still hasn't freaking healed. It's really slow healing for some reason.
It might be slow because of the low vitamin D.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So
what I would look at is there are patches. There are vitamin D3 patches that you can get.
No kidding.
And then you can buy that. I've not seen one for A, but I know there's a company. Let's look at it real quick. There's a company called Patch MD. The D I've seen in a lot of places. I think I bought it at Raw Food World. But Patch MD, let's see if they have vitamin A. Oh, they have a sale now. Promo code Patch 15, 15% off. Okay, good. They have multis. They have all kinds of stuff. Let's see if there's a search. I don't see it. Let me see. Patch MD vitamin A. Vitamin patches. Let's see, all products. Let's see. Vitamins. They have D3, K2. They have C. They have, I don't see A though.
So on the D, if I just bought that thorn drop thing, which is like, I think it's 1,000 for 2 drops. So I take a few more. So if you don't
1,000 for 2 drops. So I would take 20 drops.
Okay, 20 drops.
Although, how much K is in that?
Huh. I don't think it even says. I have to go in the kitchen and get it. I'm in the bedroom, but
maybe
I don't want to miss
it. 20 drops. I forgot because it has the, yeah. So if it's 1,000 D, I would take whatever it says is the recommended dose. And then you fill in the rest. You could either do a patch, or you could do drops like Seeking Health or Premier Research Labs. There's a lot of them that have them. But I would get a total of about 1,000.
Okay.
10,000.
10,000.
And then 10,000 in 3 months and see. But given, you know, given the gallbladder issue, why not, why just not get a topical?
Yeah.
You're much more likely to absorb it, right? And you're not in the ocean all the time, right? I'm thinking the ocean might make it fall off.
But. I know. I've been trying to get over there every day, and I sit in the, now that it's winter and it's not like burning hot, I can actually sit in the sun, which I can't do in the summertime. And I sit there for 20 to 30 minutes trying to absorb some of that vitamin D, you know. That's going to change soon, though. So you're recommending a topical, meaning like a patch.
Like a patch, yeah. Let's see.
And that's that patch
The D I only saw they had D3, K2, which is going to, you know, get you too much. But there's others that have just vitamin D patch. Let's see. They have a vitamin D3 calcium. They have a vitamin D3, K2. They have a multi.
Because I need the K2. I'm not getting that.
Yeah. So you can keep taking it orally. And then when you're finished with that, you can take it. And you probably can get away with more than what it says because you probably don't absorb as much. D3 topical patch with magnesium. That would be good. Yeah, so check out PatchMD. That's a vitamin D patch with magnesium. Who else did I see this at? I bought one. Amazon has some brands. Sunshine D nutrient patch. Yeah, so I just look around and just find, you know, so make sure it doesn't have any garbage in it, right?
That's the hardest part, yeah.
Reputable brand, and you can do it that way. You also need B12. Based on that homocysteine being high like that, you probably need B12.
My B12, I do in the complement, but she did say that she doesn't want it to go any lower than the it was 506, I think.
I'm not going by that as much as I'm going for the homocysteine. Your homocysteine.
Oh.
And you have high cholesterol. So that's not a nice combination.
No. 509 was my vitamin B. Okay.
Yeah.
So more B12. Okay. So how do I? Just, yeah, okay, so I can just get the drops.
You can do the same thing in a patch, or you're probably absorbing that okay because it doesn't depend on the gallbladder, but you can get it sublingual. I use liposomal. I don't know if they're back in stock on it, but I use Seeking Health liposomal, but there's others. Are there other, there's other B12s on our, on the doctor's supplement store, right? You can go to the doctor's supplement store and use the code something energy and we'll get, it'll get you 10% off. What was that?
Yeah. Cause sometimes I try to get into, I think that's the one on your website and it won't ever, I put in your password, put in, I do all that and it doesn't ever let me in. So I don't know how to do it or give me a second. Something is not functioning. So how much B12 total? So I take that one. I don't remember how much it is, that complement.
Again, you know, I don't know what, I figure out how much is in there. Given you have the homocysteine elevated, but I don't know if you have like a COM-T in your genes, which would make it where you have to be careful about the methyls. Do you tend towards getting anxious? Depressed, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Worry, maybe.
Worry, yeah.
Anxious, so, not so much.
Okay, so I would
a little
get,
bit.
I would get the methyl B12 in the liposomal form because it's drops, and then you can just take, like I said to Sharon, just take one drop, see how you do. Take two drops, see how you do. You can work your way up to 10 drops of that, but if you start to feel like, why do I feel so irritable today? Why do I feel so cranky? I'm worried about everything today. Then you want to back off and use it. We'll do a different form of the B12.
Okay, because I was taking, that's the methylcobalamin, right?
Yeah, methylcobalamin.
Okay, because that's what I was, RL-1511.
Okay, thank you.
Lynn's great. You are. Okay, so yeah, I used to take one that had 5,000 units, but they quit making it. It was, I know, under my tongue, and that's what my I was in the thousands all the time, and then they quit making it, and I was like, so I was just doing this stuff from Mana, just these other spray, and that was methylcobalamin. Okay.
Yeah but your homocysteine is too high. I'd like to see it below 8. 6 to 8 is where I'd like to see your homocysteine.
Homocysteine. Okay. I'm trying to see where it was a year ago. Because a year ago, it's so interesting how much has changed in a year. I mean, it's crazy.
The other thing I would look at, since your cholesterol's high and your testosterone's high, it's possible, maybe not, because the testosterone's high. What about your estrogen? Did you get estrogen tested?
Yeah, she wanted me to do the Dutch test.
Yeah.
Dutch complete or the Dutch plus? I don't know. I think it's the Dutch complete.
I usually do the Dutch complete.
Yeah, okay. So my estrogen, total serum estrogen, 92.6.
What's the range? I don't do serum that often, so.
92.6, so let's see. Postmenopausal is 50 to 170.
Okay.
So, and then my total testosterone was up, and then we did a sex hormone binding globulin. Yeah. That was high, 182.
Okay. So the sex hormone binding globulin is binding the testosterone and estrogen. So even if the testosterone levels are high, you're probably not showing signs of high testosterone. Because
no, I'm not growing hair or anything.
Not growing hair, like, not having a major crazy libido, you know, that kind of thing. So,
well,
yeah,
darn,
sort of, okay. Well, there you go.
No, I'm saying darn, that wouldn't be
too
bad.
Darn, you would like it. Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's because the sex hormone binding globulin is high, and it could be related to thyroid. I really think a Dutch test would be a good move.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I would get on some vitamin A, micellized vitamin A. Right.
Oh, yeah. The vitamin A. So
vitamin A is cheap, $11 for a bottle that'll last you 6 months.
Okay, so I don't need the patch. I can do a bottle.
I didn't see a patch. I looked.
And you said, I got to go back to that, vitamin A, 5,000?
5,000.
And that's at one shot or one thing, one not drop. Like overtime.
Okay. It's one drop. Right. And if you feel Woo-hoo! Like you're around sick people, you want to, you know, get a lot more, you can just take a whole drop or full just to protect yourself. Just don't
okay.
do it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So that, the vitamin D patch, because I want 10,000.
Yeah. And then some B12. And check then to B12. See how much you're getting at the B12, but I would look at B12. You eat a lot of green leafies, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So your folate is probably not an issue.
No, I've always been a borderline anemic. I'm looking at the wrong test. That was last year. I've always been borderline anemic, and my blood, let's see. What did you just ask me? Folate? Folate. Where's the folate? I know I did folate. Iron profile, lipase.
When you say borderline anemic, you mean iron deficiency anemia?
My hemoglobin hematocrits have always been on the lower side. Let's see. My ferritin was good, 101.
What about your iron, serum iron?
Did he do that? Iron profile. Iron 71, TIBC, whatever that is, 342. Transferrin saturation 21.
Okay. So the iron is a little low, but the ferritin is a little high. So there may be, I mean, compared to.
Oh, here's a folate. Got it. Sorry to interrupt you. 19.9.
What's the range?
Greater than 3.9.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, the things I'm suspicious about for that homocysteine is the B12 and the B6.
B6. Would it be good if I just took a complex, a B complex?
Yes.
Or no?
Oftentimes when you're low in a specific one, the B complex along with the specific ones that you need more of. I'm not sure
so
about,
that was a yes?
about the B6, right? I'm just guessing at the B6.
Right.
The Dutch so test has some B6 B1. Markers.
She said something about B1. Let me see if I can find that right here.
B1's related to blood sugar.
Oh, well, I guess that wasn't it then.
It's got other things, but there are a few markers on the blood test that show that. All right. So let's wrap it up so we can move on to somebody else. But I would say the
B... Oh, my NI and GAP. So she said I would possibly need B1 because that was something that she was looking at.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm a big fan of testing, but I'm also a big fan of only testing when we absolutely, you know, can't get the information.
And it's real expensive,
right?
Too.
Right, because it's expensive. So what I'd rather do is take the testing we have already.
Okay.
Put some actions in place and then look at it retesting. For sure you want to redo the D in 8 weeks.
Okay. 8 weeks after right. I start taking that. Okay.
But I would look at, because of, you know, thyroid's looking decent and having symptoms of low thyroid, I would definitely look at resistance. Now go into the thyroid part of the program, which is module 5. Part 5, there's a book called Thyroid Balancing Step by Step. And read through the section on thyroid resistance.
I'm trying to write this down. Okay. Fast. Okay, thyroid resistance. Read. I know I've really not been really good about doing the modules because I've been so focused on this whole thing and healing my foot and taking calcium and protein and, I mean, all this stuff that it's just been really kind of like on the back burner.
Yeah. You know? So I'm getting you. I'm going to skip to 5, module 5, part 5, fast forward and get that part out.
Okay. All right. So let's recap. Vitamin A, 5,000. Vitamin D, 10,000. B12, up it.
Probably about 1,000. You know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000.
Oh, I think that's probably what I'm getting. And then B6 for sure.
B6 is questionable, but it's cheap. So, like, it's not going to hurt you to get P5P. 25 milligrams a day, one capsule.
P5.
Or liquid. Actually, I think Designs for Health has a liquid P5P. And that way, if it's micellized, it's going to be more likely to be absorbed.
Designs for Health. Is that what you said?
I think so. And look to see if you find a patch. Anything you can find a patch on, go for. You'll be walking around the patchwork.
So. I'll be walking around with all this stuff. Oh, on your abdomen. I didn't think about that. Hide it.
Yeah, you can hide it. Put it on your back. Put it behind your hair. Okay. Your hair. Yeah.
Okay. And what? Okay. So thank you. But one last thing. Should I try to put some money forth, even though I'm not working, for the Dutch test? Probably help a lot.
I think so, but yeah, I think it would help. But you know, if you want to wait a month and get some of this stuff in place, right, and spread it out, you can do that too.
Okay, because she was saying adaptogens, and it was like, okay, that's they're so expensive.
I know that's true. I mean,
the Dutch test would probably
be. We'll talk that. It'll also give us an idea of with this testosterone, what's going on with that. What are the metabolites? So it is a good test to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. Thank you, everybody, for sitting there and listening to it all.
It's all fascinating. So, yeah, thank you.
All right. See you soon, hopefully.
Okay. I hope too. Wendy.
Yeah. Hi, Rita Marie.
Hi.
Do you happen to have my Dutch test?
I'll look.
It's in her, and I can send you the Google Drive link with it in her body balance.
She has a body balance folder? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right. What's your last name?
Parsons.
Parsons. Okay. Got it. Okay. Wendy Parsons. Dutch. Yes.
Yeah. I would love to have you just review my results and make any recommendations.
All right. Let me open this. Is it okay if I share my screen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. It was here a minute ago. Here you go. All right. Can you see it?
Yes.
All right. And you are 59. When was the last time you had a period? How long have you been in menopause?
Well, for about 10 years.
10 years. Okay. Got it. All right. So you're low in progesterone and estrogen, and you're in the normal range, but on the low side for testosterone. Your cortisol is follows the pattern really quite well. It's on the in the three quarters side, so it actually looks pretty good. You're metabolized. It's on the higher end of the normal range, but the free and the metabolized are somewhat equal. So this is good. It's like you're not getting rid of more than you're making or vice versa. So this is pretty balanced. I think this looks pretty balanced and your DHEA looks good. So from all appearances here, your adrenals look like they're in good shape.
Okay, good.
Okay. Looking at your sex hormones, you've got a little bit better than Sharon, but you're still a little bit low on the estriol. Estrone is 3.34 compared to 2. So it's like 67% or something like that. We want this estriol to be equal to or higher than the sum of these two.
So should I take some estriol supplement?
Possibly, yeah. Let me look at what you're doing with your estriol. This is the important part. We want to see how you're metabolizing. See this little pie chart?
Uh-huh.
And yours looks pretty good. Your highest is your 2, which is the protective one. Your lowest is your 4. And your 16 is a little on the lower than I would like side. So the estriol gets converted into the 16. So the estriol could be very helpful in helping you to raise the 16, which helps protect your bones. That makes sense? So bones, you know, as we go through menopause, we end up with a little less bone density because of some of these estrogens being out of balance. Okay? So yeah, estriol could be helpful. Let me look at the other stuff. Your progesterone is low. Do you have any issues with your liver that you know of? Are you on any medication?
Yes.
You do. Okay. So this, where how I knew that is looking at this 5-beta versus 5-alpha preference. Oftentimes there's some liver congestion there. So I would be doing things to support your liver, whether it be eating things like burdock root and hawthorn and milk thistle, stuff like that. Being careful about fats, you know, don't eat any hydrogenated fats or heavy, you know, saturated animal fats.
No olive oil.
You know, how much do you weigh? Are you overweight, underweight, or right?
Well, no, I mean, since I went on your body balance program last year, I've lost 40 pounds.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
So I'm a normal weight now.
So you're a normal weight. So if you wanted to have a little bit of olive oil on your salad, no big deal. But I wouldn't make a point of like taking it in, right? And it wouldn't go forcing oils. But olive oil on your salad, no big deal. Let's see. And methylation-wise, you're fairly balanced, a little on the low side. Yeah, so overall, this isn't bad. You're just low. I mean, and it's expected at menopause, but you're below these ranges. See the little purples?
Yeah.
Yeah, we want, you know, you be in those purples.
So what should I do? What should I take?
I would look at this Biomatrix Estadapt. Here, I'll pull it up here. And I would have it with ProAdapt as well. They have two. One's an estrogen and one's a progesterone. And it's topical. You can put a little on your wrist. You can put it in the vulva area, which will get absorbed better. You can put it behind your knees, in the crook of your elbow. And the way I would do it would be, do you have any difficulty sleeping at night?
Generally, no, I don't.
Okay, good. So what I would do is I would do the estrogen drops in the morning and the progesterone at night.
Okay.
And you can work up to like 3 drops is all.
And the name of the company is Biomatrix?
Biomatrix, yeah. If you go to unstoppablenutrients.com and log in to our account, they have this available and we have a coupon. Did you put that coupon that we had them do for ERC? Lynn, do you know what that one is? I'm going to look it up because I know that, I think it's something with the word energy in it.
Okay.
Okay, give me a second and I'll find it for you. What was Saturday? Was the 7th, right? And the 6th is when I sent that email out. Healing trauma. Okay, yeah, it was like 3 in the afternoon. Boy, I get a lot of emails. This is crazy. What was the date of Friday? Was that the 6th?
Yeah, the 6th.
Yeah.
Here we go. I got it. It's so you go to unstoppablenutrients.com.
Yeah.
And use the code HCPC1511. Energy.
Okay.
Okay, and that'll get you 10% off.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, HP. Let me copy this.
Is it capital HPC?
It looks like it is. I'm not sure if it necessarily makes a difference, but usually, you know, things like that do make it.
So HPC.
HCPC. Okay, here we go. I'm going to put it in the chat.
Okay.
So Lynn put the link in there and then just use this code. And that's a special code we created to get you 10% off. Okay.
Okay.
And the company is Biomatrix and it's EST Adapt. And there's also one called ProAdapt. EST-ADAPT. ProAdapt. Okay.
Okay.
And they're pretty much, both of them are, you know, it says it's really pure. It's just got the progesterone in like a rice bran oil and vitamin E. Some of them, like the creams, have a lot of other, like, you know, stuff in there. 2 to 5 drops. So start with 1 drop.
Okay.
And then just work it up to 2 to 3 to 4.
So it's 3 to 5, right?
How long do you think it'll take me to work off? Like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or should I just do it?
How sensitive are you? Like, do you tend to react to things when you take?
No, I don't tend to be very sensitive.
I would say do it for a couple of days, then do it for a couple, you know, then up it. So it shouldn't take you more than a week to get up to the full dose.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. Okay. Anything else with that test then?
Let me go back because there's also the stuff there. Let's see. My screen disappeared. So I'm trying to keep track on two different screens. So I lost you. Okay. Yeah. So the thing I want to look at next would be the organic acid page.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Sure.
On that, is that for both the EstaDapt and ProDapt where you start with one drop and
I would.
And increase both of them? Okay.
Well, you know, usually I say start one supplement at a time because if you do have a bad reaction, then you don't know who to blame.
Right.
So you can do the Est for 2 days. That looks good. Then just keep doing the Est and add the Pro, you know, and then do that for 2 days and then you can start increasing it.
Okay. And they're both topical?
They're both topical. Yeah. Vulva and anal mucosa tend to be absorbed best, but you know, if you're sexually active, you don't want to do it in an area that you're going to, you know, pass it on to your partner. If you handle children, like if grandchildren, make sure that if you put it on your skin, that it's covered. So if you handle kids, the vulva is a good place because the kids are not going to be in that area. But if it's on your arms, make sure you put some stuff over it for at least an hour after that. Because it has been known that kids can absorb the topical hormones from an adult through the skin. You know, you're cuddling your kid, grandkids and rolling on the floor with them. So I don't know if you even have grandkids. I'm just throwing it out there. Okay. So on this page, MMA, this is a marker for B12. And it's high, which means that you probably have low B12.
Okay.
Do you take B12 at all?
No, but I can.
Yeah, I would get some. Now, do you have a tendency towards anxiety?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would tend towards starting your first round of it with something like a hydroxy B12.
Okay.
You can get a sublingual from PERQ, PERQUE, and just see how you do with it. But there's also liquids. You can try like Seeking Health or Amy Yasko's company and places like that. But there's so many brands these days that are good.
Okay.
And then work that up. Once you get through, if you're open to this, I get two kinds. I get the hydroxy and a methyl, but get the methyl in a liquid, a liposomal liquid.
Okay.
And then just take the hydroxy for about a week. And just see how you feel. You may feel suddenly real energized. Or you could do a patch. I mean, you could always get a B12 patch if you prefer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, but the B12 patches are all methyl. So the idea with the methyl, if you tend towards anxiety, you may have a specific genetic SNP that will make it worse if you take too many methyl groups. But I don't know if you have that.
Okay.
Right? There's no way for me to know without a genetics test. So I just like to err on the side of caution. So take the hydroxy for about a week and then add a drop of the methyl. Methyl does well, add 2 drops of the methyl, but always watching for it, you know, anxiety, worry, agitation, any of those symptoms. If you do get that, then you back off below. So say you're fine at 4 drops. When you add the 5th drop, you're like, whoa, what just happened? You go back to 4 drops.
Okay.
Okay. Make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Your B12-6 markers, you may have low glutathione. Glutathione is a very potent liver, and that may help with your liver. That may be part of why you have a little congestion in your liver.
Okay.
Glutathione's another one where you can get it topical or you can get it as a liposomal. And liposomal means it's just easy for it to get into the cells through the digestive tract, even if you don't have a good gallbladder function.
Okay.
And again, I would start with very low and just gradually increase it.
Okay.
Do you tend to have a sensitivity to things like, you know, dried fruit that has sulfur on it?
Yeah, I tend not to like it.
Yeah. So I would go carefully on the glutathione and maybe just start with a couple of drops and do that for a few weeks.
Okay.
Increase. And if you increase it to whatever the dose is, or maybe half of what the dose is, I think it's usually a teaspoon is the dose, then if you start to feel that weird sensation that you would get from dried fruit, then it means you back too much. Usually people who have a reaction like that to the sulfur in dried fruit, it's because of a pathway that genetically isn't working right to get rid of that.
Okay.
So too much glutathione. But glutathione can be very supportive for your liver. So some of the things that you've noticed with your liver can be really helped with glutathione.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Without seeing more, I don't want to recommend, but this is definitely showing you might have that SNP that I was talking about, because of the dopamine and norepinephrine pathways. I don't want to give you too much to think about right now. It's just barely above the range. It's just in the high end of the range. But I would do those other things, and then let's just see how it goes over the next few months.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, and melatonin. Do you have trouble sleeping?
No, I really don't.
Okay. It's just barely, you know, at the low end of the range. So yeah, it's fine. Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Stop share. All right. Margaret. Oops, Margaret disappeared. There she is. I'll unmute you. Oops, moved. There you go.
Am I unmuted?
You're unmuted, now you're gone. Yeah, there you go, you're unmuted.
Okay, great.
Great.
Hi. This is my first call, yay, I made one.
I'm glad you're here.
Yes, I took your sweet spot in 2018. Your sweet spot solution. And then I wanted to sign my husband up for your program, and we haven't been able to make the calls. So he's actually here tonight. I don't know.
Hi, husband. What's your husband's name?
Here.
Hi.
So we're really just getting started. I know it's March, so we're trying to get going on that. And he filled his health assessment out, and I don't see it online. I guess once you submit it, you don't access it again online?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so I guess he needs to email his blood work in to get the phone assessment.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be sending out details for how to get that done. I haven't done that yet. Yeah,
to get that done, I'll
be sending you a link that you can use to upload the blood. So anybody that was qualified for that will do that. Yep.
Okay, that'll be great.
Yeah.
And yeah, we really hope to get healthy this year. We live in Maryland. We're in our mid-50s, 54, 55. We have two teenagers.
That'll be busy.
Yeah, so basically, you know, we both want to lose weight.
How much weight do you want to lose?
I would like to lose 30 to 40 pounds. And how much would you like to lose, Murat?
50 pounds would be good.
He says 50 pounds would be good.
All right. So both of you in that same range, 30 to 40. And
Murat, I guess, is pre-diabetic. Or do you remember your A1C number? He's just barely there. I mean, just starting to approach the range.
Okay. What that means, if you've listened to any of the sweet spot stuff, is that it's probably been going on for decades, and we want to catch it before the neuropathies and the retinopathies. And
right. I'm saying is that maybe it's 6 point something. So
yeah,
I don't remember exactly, but we have all his records together for the phone call. We just need to submit those and he can have his call.
Great.
And
have you done module one, all the pieces in module one?
So we're working on that now.
Good.
So we're going to try to get caught up and get up to speed. And
yeah, if you want to like a shortcut with the blood sugar stuff, since he's already in the pre-diabetic range, keep going through that, but also jump to module 3. And there's a place where it says a page called Metabolic Reset at a Glance.
Okay.
And just print that out. It's a 2-page thing and it just gives you a summary of all the things to do to help get your blood sugar in balance. And then there's a chart, a food chart.
Okay. Yeah, I think one thing that's going to be a big challenge for him is that, you know, bread is really important for him. He has it with every meal. So trying to figure out how to, so he can feel satisfied with his meals, but I know that he can't keep eating all that bread.
He can't eat any bread. No.
So.
No. So it's a matter of what's filling. And as part of that elimination diet, we have you fill out, like, what are your foods that you eat a lot of? What are the foods that you don't eat much of? But there's a lot of filling foods. In fact, bread isn't really that filling, because what bread does is skyrockets your glucose levels,
right,
and you drop, and it leaves you like, I could eat a whole loaf of bread at one time. I can't eat the equivalent of that much rice at one time without feeling, you know what I mean? So the bread for satiation is actually more of a an emotional and mental safety.
Yeah, and I think also he uses it to hold, like, as a container for the other food he's eating. So.
Okay, so we have lots of options for that. Okay, mm-hmm. We have lots of options for that. There are breads that you can make that we've given you recipes for, and they're in that sweet spot recipe guide that you make from nuts and seeds and vegetables. Have the consistency. I make pizza crust. There's recipes there. You have in there the collection of all the different videos of how to make some of this stuff. It requires either a dehydrator or a convection oven to do it right. If you don't have one of those, it's definitely worth the investment. Somebody just told me, I don't remember what the name of it was.
Yeah, I have a dehydrator. And when I did the elimination diet, I've done it a couple times, but not recently. I mean, bread is one thing that I can't eat, because I get joint inflammation from bread.
Yeah. So I would look at the recipes. There's in the module 3, which is blood sugar, there's a place that says the ultimate blood sugar balancing recipe collection.
Okay.
Look for that and look for the bread stuff in there. There's definitely a bunch of different bread. But I make pizza crust from cauliflower and chia seeds and Brazil nuts, and I throw some veggies in there. And it makes this amazing pizza crust that when I bring it to my friends who are don't eat the way I do, they normally eat bread with pizza crust. They're like, I can't believe this is so good.
Okay. All right. So we will try some of those.
That's what I would start with. And just start looking at the list and trying, you know, this for that replacements is a good thing. Right? So bread. Let's work on bread right now.
Okay, that sounds like a really good place for him to start,
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Thank you. And sometimes we have to get to the point where we go, do I want my feet or my bread? Because I can't have both of them.
Well, he's not there yet, but...
No.
So, but I don't want him to get there.
I don't want to get there. Right, so, right.
I guess for me, my big issue is consistency.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are not going to... They're not... willing to eat, you know, like on the sweet spot solution. They want to, you know, eat their food. So preparing meals for everybody's has their own preferences. And then I just kind of get, you know, tired of it because I'm working full time. I have my own company and all of that. And so that becomes, so consistency is my main issue. I mean, I know what I need to do.
Okay.
I know what foods bother me. But then I just get kind of tired of it, and I just want to do what's easy.
Yeah, and how old are your kids?
They're 15 and 17.
Okay. So I'm going to just say something that might be controversial. But if your kids want to eat, they need to eat what you serve them or pay for their own food and go get it themselves and prepare it themselves. And I know it's a hard line. But at some point as a family, you say, look, it's not good for them either. I mean, if dad has this tendency and you, they likely have that tendency too. And you're like, look, yeah. I've learned that. And you pick things like if they like spaghetti, right? So then you find an alternative to spaghetti and you make that that everybody can eat with the zucchini noodles and pesto and, you know, sauce and whatever. What are their favorite foods? And think in terms of how can you make replacements for it? Do they like pizza? Figure out how to make the pizza for them, you know?
Yes.
But I would say it's really important that you're the parents and you're supplying the financial support for food and that you have a right to say, we're buying the healthy food. If you want anything else, I can't stop you. You're 15 and 17, but I'm not going to buy it.
So I should just make what's best for Murat and I to eat, and then if they want something else, they can make something else, and I don't have to bring those foods into the house.
That's right, because when you bring them in the house, then you're tempting yourself.
Exactly.
And the problem is consistency. It's there. Yes. It's easy, right?
Yeah.
So you make stuff. You look at, you know, pay some attention to their, what do they like? What do you know they like that's healthy?
Yeah.
What do you know they like that's not so healthy? And how can you make it in a healthier way? I blow people's minds with the pizzas and the lasagnas and the pasta dishes because they're good for them. And yet, you know, they still taste good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You guys can do this.
Okay.
I know. It's tough with teenagers, but my kid is like, when he just ate what we gave him up until he could drive the car. And then like, I can't stop you, but if you want that, you've got to work and pay for it because I'm not going to pay to hurt you.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
It's mean, but it's not.
I mean, that would help me a lot if we just don't bring it in the house.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Okay.
You can do this.
All right.
We're
okay.
Support you. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
You take care. Okay. Who else doesn't? Who hasn't? Carol, Denise. Oh, Denise. Hi, Denise. Lynn. Lynn G, I haven't talked to her. I talked to Marianka. So if you guys have anything, Lynn, Lynn or Denise, there's Lynn. Hi.
I'm cute.
Lynn
looks like
Q. Oh, it looks like a G. Sorry.
But that's also my maiden name was G, so it was close enough.
Oh, good. It was close. Okay, good. We have a lot of Lynns. We have Lynn D. We have.
I know. Right?
Yeah.
There are a lot.
So can I support you? We have about 10 minutes left. So, you know.
Well, there's not a lot. I haven't done the testing, the additional testing. I was going along pretty well until I'm struggling with blood testing. And they.
When you say blood testing, going to the lab blood testing or are you finger pricking for sugar?
Finger pricking. They reduce the amount of. Test strips that they would provide. So I'm in a war with the insurance company and the doctor quit. So I'm trying to find another doctor who will support me in that. And I got some cheaper test strips and they're all higher. I mean, the amounts are higher.
Okay. Which ones did you get? Did you get the Walmart ones?
No, I got the CVS brand.
Oh, I don't know.
But they're inconsistent. I talked to Annette about this. Like I tested it and it was 153. It hadn't been 153 since I started this program. Yeah. So I immediately tested it again and it was 120. Yeah. So I didn't even know if that was right. So
no, you can't. I did the testing. I did like 10 or 12 different ones. Some of them got thrown in the trash because it was like, you can't get three in a row that are equivalent.
But they're the same.
Right. The one that's very consistent, but tends to be about 8 to 10 points higher than the accurate ones is the Walmart one, the Rely On Prime.
Rely On Prime?
Yep. R-E-L-I-O-N Prime. The meter itself costs maybe $15. The strips are the cheapest on the market. They're like $10 for 50.
Okay.
Okay, so try it. It will be a little higher, but it's consistent. So when I ran those, I did like 10 in a row on that one. I'm like, it was within 2 to 3 points on every one. I had not found a meter that was that reliable.
Oh, okay.
But it was about 8 to 10 points higher than like my famous one that I can't get anymore, my True to Go, and then the Keto Mojo. It was higher than those, but consistent.
Okay.
Okay. The Keto Mojo strips are expensive.
Yeah, they are. I'm writing this down.
Okay, good.
It must be a little higher because there's some brain fog that's returned, which means it's disorienting. And we've dug up the foundation and he didn't do it right. And then the landscaper came behind him and he's in a war with the foundation guy. And I'm like, too much going on.
So you got a lot of stress going on. I would recommend you pull out that metabolic reset at a glance that I was just talking about.
So that's module?
It's in module 2. Module three. If you look across the top, it'll say metabolic reset. And then in the drop down, it says metabolic reset at a glance.
Okay.
All right. Well, do you do sweet spot?
I did it before it was sweet spot.
Oh, before. Before. It was before. It was, called
it was before.
Before we got.
A long, long time ago.
Okay.
When we had my best results was the feasting with food.
The fast food. Okay. So that's something to do once a month. 5 days.
I do it once a month, but I find myself incorporating those recipes because I enjoy them.
Beautiful. Great.
Yes. And I just eat big, huge salads and there's not a lot of, my husband's retired. He's home and he says he'll just fix his food unless I make enough for him to eat that he likes. So he's not putting any pressure on me to fix two meals. I know I shouldn't be having any problem, right?
Right. So you just decide what you're going to do. You pick your 5 days. You're going to do that strictly with the caloric restriction.
Yes.
And then the rest of the time you can eat from there. You can eat from there. The,
yes.
The metabolic reset at a glance, but look at your stress levels, right? Are you doing heart math to try to bring your cortisol back down?
For heart math. So where can I find that?
Heart math is in module 3 again. It's in actually module 1 too. Yeah, I think step 3 or 4 or something like that.
Okay.
Do quick coherence. Yep.
So when do we start sweet spot?
April the 2nd.
Okay.
Yep. Not too long away.
I know.
Yeah.
Annette recommended that I go ahead and start looking at it and getting ready for it.
Yeah. That's why getting that metabolic reset at a glance, pulling out the recipe guide, just playing around and, you know, and right. Getting back to the other pieces because it's not just about the food, right?
The prayer, I pray instead of meditate. That's okay. In line.
That's fine. It's mindfulness practice. It's something that's going to shift you. Yes. Yeah. That's good. And then what about movement?
I've lost 30 pounds since September.
All right.
Yeah.
That's so there's great.
It's been interesting because I'm getting a lot of pushback. You've lost too much weight. So I'm 5'5". I'm small boned. I didn't weigh over 125 when I was in high school and college. And I weigh 137 now. So
you could easily get back down to that 125 and not be too thin.
Well, my point to them was I'm not trying to lose weight.
I'm trying to be healthy.
Yeah. And some dietitians and people that I know have said, you know, you don't have to give up everything. So it's been interesting to me to see what people have to deal with.
There's a lot of pushback that everybody gets when they try to.
Yeah, I'm getting that.
Yeah.
It's surprising. And I just tell them, I don't feel like I'm giving up anything. I'm fully satisfied with what I'm eating. Okay. So.
Right. You eat fully satisfying meals. They're filling you. They taste good. And they're good for your body.
So, well, I love the phrase you said one time. I really hung on to that. It's nutrient dense foods.
Yes.
I love that phrase. And that's what I tell them.
That's what you tell them. And they're eating calorie dense foods that are nutrient low, and you're eating nutrient dense foods that happen to be calorie low in most cases.
Right. I had 3 friends come to me who I did not know were diabetic and asked me what I'm doing. Awesome. So that's, we have that little thing starting to happen. So
that's what happens. That's how we, you know, a lot of people want to go, how do I tell my mother and how do I get my sister to do this? And just do it and be the model of being comfortable with your food, right? If you're like, well, I got to eat the salt again, they're not going to want to do what you're doing, right? But right. if you're like, wow, this is so good. I'm so excited and I feel so good and my energy, my brain fog, you kind of have that as a barometer, right?
Yes.
That if the brain fog comes back, you know you're off track.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem with the brain fog is when you're off track, it's hard to get back on track, I've discovered. It's a catch 22, isn't it?
That's where the fasting comes in.
Yes, I think so.
That fasting with feasting, or you could do it with whatever we're calling it anymore, I forget, but whatever. Or just, you know, pure fasting, because it just, it's like, okay, just bzz, reset button, bzz.
Yeah, and it does do that, but I don't think I should do it any more than 1 week out of the month.
Probably not, because you're at your ideal weight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and if you do it too much, then your metabolic rate will go down.
Yes, I've discovered that happens sometimes because I've continued the intermittent fasting. And I catch myself not eating enough, and it stalls, my weight stalls. Yeah. Then I step up the eating, and the metabolism kicks back in.
Kicks in again, right. And that's why 5 days a month is good, and then the rest of the time. And sometimes, like, if you're intermittent fasting, you can have one feast day a week. Doesn't mean M&Ms and Cheerios. No, you know, it just means more calories, more, you know, healthy fats, more carbs, maybe some blueberries, you know, things right. that you might not on 1 day a week. And that keeps your body guessing. And it tends to be, you know, more for premenopausal, perimenopausal women, but even postmenopausal women. It's just for women in general, it's good to keep the body guessing like that.
That's one of the things you pointed out. And I think that's been helpful to me.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. Are we good? I don't see Denise coming on. So I have another call to go to in 1 minute. So I want to thank you all for being here and for all your support for each other, listening and staying and for yourself, right? It's a journey, right? It's a marathon, not a sprint. And we all want to sprint to the end, but you know what happens if you try to do that all the time, right? So it's a marathon. We have to just keep doing the steps and the steps and the steps. And we want it to be consistent. You don't want it to be something that you can do. I can do this for a week, but don't ask me to do this for longer. You want to be making these changes that you can do consistently. And that's where it builds up. So thank you everybody for being here. I'm going to unmute you so we can say goodbye. And I can hear your voices again. Where's the unmute button? Unmute all. There we go. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.